Mark chapter 5, as we continue on looking this morning at the place of desperation. We're going to be starting in verse 25 and working through 34 as we look at this woman that approaches Jesus in her place of desperation. Notice it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" The place of desperation. We started last week, remember, looking at the place of desperation. Now, remember, last week's setting was Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he was in a desperate place because his daughter was dying. And we saw him waiting on the Lord there, coming to the Lord and falling before the Lord there at the Sea of Galilee and saying, "Come back and help me. My daughter's in a terrible place," and saw that desperation in his life. We're going to leave him this week, and we're going to look at another woman that comes along in between that and finish up with Jairus next week. But what's interesting is, while Jesus was traveling and going with this particular man to his house to touch his daughter, there was this divine interruption that took place. Now, here's where I want to encourage you as believers. God has what I will call divine appointments for all of our lives. And what I mean by that is that we get up, we start our day, and we say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that." We have our to-do list, and if you're like me, you have it all, you know, you have it mapped out of what you're going to do, and you have certain things you want to finish and accomplish. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, right in the midst of your wonderful plan, something happens that stops everything you were doing and takes it another direction. And you know, oftentimes what we think is, man, I can't believe this. How did this interrupt my day? Guys, I want to encourage you in something. As a believer, I think that God is in control of every part of every day. And what that means is, even that flat tire, even that person that stops over, you know, the one that stops over and never leaves, you know, the phone call you get and it's hard to get off of that phone call, you know, the person you run into in the grocery store, whatever the case might be, look to God's hand in that as divine intervention. And Jairus is going to learn that today, because as he was going with the Lord, suddenly this woman comes along and she puts everything on hold and basically stops the Lord in his tracks and leaves a man who's desperate in that desperate state while God deals with somebody else who's desperate. And that is this woman here that has this flow of blood. So we left Jairus last week. We now come to this woman again, and we don't know exactly what her situation was, but we know that she had a physical situation. We're also going to see that it affected her in a emotional and societal way. And the Lord is going to stop in this divine interruption, if you will, this divine intervention, this divine appointment to touch your life. And that's where we take up here in verse 25. So we'll leave Jairus there, kind of waiting. Imagine him watching in the wings. He's anxious because the Lord's stopping, and we'll give him a chance. He's got to wait a whole other week before he gets any relief on this thing. So be praying for Jairus this week. In verse 25, notice it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse." Now we see our second candidate for the place of desperation. Jairus in his place of desperation as his daughter died, and now this woman who has issues. She's got issues. All of us have issues, don't we? From time to time in our life, we have issues, and oftentimes those issues put us in a place of desperation. And oftentimes we know, I've got to deal with this issue. I've got to take this issue to God. But oftentimes we don't take the issue to God like we should until we get ourselves in that place of desperation. Now, this was a literal issue of blood. I don't want to change the meaning of it by making the application there. There was obviously something physically going on in her life, but all of us have issues. And it seems like for some reason, oftentimes, before we will take these issues that are so weighing us down and run to the Lord and give them to him, we have to get in a place of desperation. Why is that? Now, I don't know what it was like when you came to the Lord, but when I came to the Lord, God had to take me to a place of desperation. People shared with me that Jesus loved me, that he died for me, all these things, but I still could handle. I was still kind of running my own life. I kind of made my own decisions. I was doing fine. I wasn't in the place I was ready to relinquish that. But God brought me to a place of desperation in my life where I was able to bring my issues and my life to him and to fall down at his feet. And maybe God's doing that in some of you this morning. Maybe right now God has been working in your heart and drawing you in, and you know you've got issues that need to be dealt with. You know that you've been running from the Lord, and the Lord is saying, it's time to deal with it. Don't leave this place until it's dealt with. Because if you do, what's going to happen is God's going to allow you, note this, to get in a place of desperation before he touches you. And I believe that if we would come to the Lord and make our own heart desperate before God had to get us there himself, I believe we could avoid a lot of heartache. Lord, give me a desperate heart. You know, let me be the one that's crying out to you, not just playing religion, not just being a part of the crowd, but crying out. Again, it doesn't tell us what was causing this flow of blood, but no doubt it had something to do with the normal functions of a woman's body. And it was something that physically had weighed her down. It had overwhelmed her. She'd done everything she could with the doctors. And by the way, doctors can only do so much, can't they? There's only so much doctors can do. And sometimes God allows us in that place of desperation where the doctors can do nothing else so that God can say, now watch me work. And sometimes God allows these kind of things for a certain stint in our life to get our attention and to let us know that he loves us and to let us know that he wants to show us his power so that as we see his power, we know, you know what? God loves me. And some of you this morning may be in a certain situation in your life right now where God is allowing desperation to come into your life. And I believe the sooner you run to Jesus, the better. My challenge to you would be is how desperate do you have to be before you'll run to Jesus? If you have issues this morning and you're already desperate in heart, bring it to the Lord. Let him deal with it now. She waited until it got really bad and she had nowhere else to turn. She had spent all of her money on doctors. The doctors can only do so much, as we said. And now she runs to Jesus, which is always the right thing to do. But note this, this was not only a physical curse, this was a social curse as well for this woman. Now, you got to understand a little bit of the background to know why. You see, women were considered unclean according to the Levitical law during their normal issue of blood, that monthly cycle. They were considered unclean. And anyone they touched or anything they came in contact with was Levitically unclean. So they had to be very cautious in everything that they did. Can you imagine being this way for life? She had this situation going on every day for 12 years. And you think, yes, I can imagine the physical disparity that would have put her in. But imagine now her relations with other people. She lived as an unclean woman for 12 years with no hope and no doctor able to give her that hope. A lifelong continual flow of blood that would have meant that she was continually unclean before God and the people every day, every moment. It would have been a miserable life. Now imagine this, no physical contact with her husband, no physical contact with her children, no hugs, no kisses, no encouragement, no pat on the back, no arm around you to say it's going to be okay. Because anyone that touched her was unclean. And now you see the situation she was in desperately. She couldn't do any social events out in public. Why? Because you might run into someone. If you bumped into someone, they were unclean. And now they had to go through this whole ritual thing to be cleansed again, you know? And so the embarrassment, the humility, all that went with this was just overwhelming for her. And now you see why she had become desperate. Now, what I find interesting about this, because some of you this morning may be in that desperate place, but I want you to know this. God has perfect timing for every moment of our lives, which means if we're in a desperate place, God has allowed us to be in that desperate place, and God is going to do something in just the right timing to release us from that desperate place. And what is my point in all this? Well, I find it interesting that she had this flow of blood for 12 years. Now, in one of the other gospels, it tells us that Jairus' daughter was, guess how old? 12 years old. You see, I find that more than a coincidence. Whenever you read the Bible, always be looking for the Holy Spirit to be revealing things to you that are not just seen unless you're really paying attention. Every name, every situation, God puts everything in his word to get a point across to us. And I believe this girl being 12 years old and this woman having this 12-year issue of blood has a very specific reason for being here as well. And what is that? Well, it's interesting in Scripture, the number 12 is the number of governmental perfection. And you might think, well, Mark, what does government have to do with this situation? Everything and in every way, when you realize that God wants to govern each of our lives each and every day. He is the governor of our life if we allow him to be. And as God governs our life, he has a perfect timing in which he does everything in our life. And I believe this was the Lord saying basically, you know what? It's time. You've suffered long enough. It's been an issue for long enough. We're going to deal with it. Jairus, you've run from me long enough. I'm going to allow a desperate situation in your life and in your family because you know what? It's my time to move in your life. Remember the day the Lord began to move in your life? Do you remember that? Those of you that know Christ in here today, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know the Lord, I hope that today is that day. I hope that right now God is drawing you in and going, you know, something's happening in my heart and I feel God stirring me and drawing me to him. But I remember the day that God said, this is it. It's time. He revealed himself to me and it was an unbelievable day in my life. It's an incredible day. And it was on God's time clock. It was perfect timing. And I've often wondered, Lord, why didn't it happen sooner? Why did I have to get until I was 25 years old? I'm not saying the Lord was delaying. It probably was something with my disobedience. But God knew the perfect time when I would be ready to receive. You ever share with some people and you talk to them and it's a brick wall? They want nothing to do with it. They can't hear it. And you're like, listen, guys, you can't force Jesus down their throat. They're not going to receive that. It's not going to work. You've got to back off and say, God, get them ready. And then you pray and you wait for the perfect timing. And then when God shows you it's the perfect timing, you move in for the kill. That's how it works. And so this was the perfect timing. This is Jairus's moment. This was this woman's moment where she needed to see the power of God in her life that would change everything in her life. You know, Jacob had a moment like this. Remember Jacob, he was on the run. Jacob is the one that stole his birthright from his brother. Really, he sold it to him, but his brother accused him of stealing it. Esau and Jacob, Esau was his older brother. So he takes the birthright, which was very important. Not only did it mean a spiritual inheritance, which was the most important, but it even meant a financial inheritance. And so Esau saw him as the brother that stole dad's money. And the brother that's getting all the blessings that I'm missing out on. And he said, next time I see you, kid, I'm going to kill you. Speaking to his younger brother. Jacob freaks out. He runs off. He's gone for 20 years. And God says, now, Jake, it's time to head home, buddy. So he loads up everything, starts heading back with his new family. And he finds out that on his way back, a messenger comes and says, Jacob, got news for you. What's that? Your brother, Esau, coming to meet you. Oh, no. My brother Esau's coming to meet me. Yes. Oh, no. Well, I got some other news. What's that? Yeah, he's bringing 400 guys with him. 400 men with Esau. This is not good. I'm in big trouble. And he immediately begins to think, I'm done. I'm going to die. And he starts to cry out to the Lord and he says, God, you promised. You know, the Bible says that that night he sent everybody on ahead and he stayed there next to the Fort Jabbok on the other side of the river. And he began to cry out and say, God, you promised that you would bring me back to this land. And you promised, God, that you would take care of me. And all these promises that you've given, Lord, you've done it. And now I'm facing my brother and he's bringing 400 men with me. And he's going to wipe out me and my wives and my children and all everything. We're going to be destroyed. God, you got to move. And the Bible says that Jacob began to cry out to God. And suddenly the angel of the Lord showed up and he wrestled with Jacob all night long. Now, what's interesting about that is literally Jacob had a visitor, the angel of the Lord, who wrestled with him all night long. But there's a beautiful picture and analogy there of us in that place of desperation, wrestling with the Lord. You ever been there? God, you've got to help me. Lord, you've got to move. I need you desperately. And this wrestling match is going on. And God, you know, will let us wrestle until finally we come to a place to where we say, you know what? I just give everything up. And the next morning, that's what happened with Jacob. He finally gave up and realized, I can't do this. I'm defeated. I'm going to lose. And finally, it says that the angel of the Lord touched his hip and shrunk the muscle there in his hip. And he collapsed and was hanging on to the robe of the angel of the Lord and talking back and forth. And it's interesting because he said, you know, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. I love it. Now, the angel of the Lord could have left. You know, Jacob couldn't have held on to him, you know, and he'd have probably gotten, you know, a good 50 feet in the air and he would have had to have let go at some point. But the bottom line is he's holding on. And guys, what a lesson that is for us, because note this, in that place of desperation, in that place of hanging on to the Lord, I love what he said. I'm not letting go till you bless me. And guys, that's the desire we've got to have. It's got to be that desire. I'm not letting go, Lord, until you touch my life. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm not letting go. It doesn't mean we're demanding that God do something he doesn't want to do. Don't get me wrong. What it means is, God, I'm holding on until you touch me. I need a touch from you. And it's interesting, the touch that Jacob got, I don't know that it was the touch that he thought it would be, but it came in a twofold manner. Number one, a touch on the hip that changed his walk. And from that point on, he wasn't the same man. He now walked differently with God. And when we come to those places of desperation and wrestling with the Lord, we leave that place with a different walk with our God. But the second thing is, God also did something in Jacob's heart. And that is, he said, Jacob, you know what? Your name is heel catcher, which means basically deceiver. That's what Jacob means. I'm changing your name today. You've wrestled with God and you've cried out for me to bless you. And I've touched your life and I'm changing your walk quite literally. And now I'm going to call you Israel. And Israel means literally governed by God and prince with God. And that's what happens when we wrestle with God and we hang on until God touches our life. We now quit governing our own life as Jairus was governing his life, as this woman was governing her own life, trying to see all the doctors and make everything work, and nothing wrong in going to the doctors, but they are limited. And now she realized, I've got to not go to a man, but I've got to go to the God man, and I can no longer govern my own life. As we do that and we turn ourselves over and say, God, I give you full reign to run my life and govern my life, we now become princes and princesses with God. And that's exactly what's happening here with this woman and Jairus. They're both about to be touched, and they're both about to see this great change happen in their life from this desperate situation they're in, being a prince with God and being governed by God. And so Jesus is the one that can do that. And notice it says, when she heard about Jesus, note that, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. You see, when she heard, wait a minute, there's no other man that can help me, but that man can. When she heard about Jesus, she went to Jesus to be touched by him. See, guys, that's what we need to do this morning. You've heard about Jesus. You know that Jesus is there, but have you ever truly been touched by the Lord? And have you ever truly reached out and grabbed on and said, God, I am desperate for you and I need a touch from you? This is where this woman was. She was in this place of desperation. She was in this place where she was not going to stop until she got a touch. She had sought everything the world had. I've experienced the world. I've had all that the world has to offer, all those things. Now I want what Jesus has to offer. And so she runs to touch his garment. And notice what she says within herself, verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Now again, interesting, if only I may touch his clothes, I may be made well. I don't know whether or not she believed, and some have said maybe she was superstitious, that if she grabbed his clothes, there would be a power there. Maybe, but I think there are some other things going on here as well. And that is, she believed that the power coming off of this man was so great, if she could just get close enough to touch something connected to him, she would be healed. It's interesting, when you look in the Old Testament, that's not unusual. We see when Elijah went up, remember, he dropped his mantle and his robe, if you will, and Elisha got it and came back and struck the Jordan, and the Jordan split. And God was moving through Elisha, but also it was the mantle of Elijah. There was another time, remember, when Elisha sent his staff, remember, to the woman and said, Gehazi, go and lay my staff on the child that he may live again. And he believed that there would be power in that staff, because power emanating from him to that, from God, that would be used. And there was another time, I remember one of the prophets was actually down, and he was in his tomb, and they brought along somebody else that was going to be buried nearby there. And they started being attacked by the enemy. So they lowered the person down in the tomb that the prophet was in. And as soon as that person touched the prophet's bones, they came back to life. Now that's some powerful bones. You know, them bones, powerful bones. So there appears to be, when it came to someone that God is really using in a great way, I'm not getting weird with this, like, you know, clothing is going to be powerful, and, you know, you get their, you know, whatever, their shirt or whatever, and, you know, this kind of thing. My point is that when God used these prophets in power, there was so much power from God coming through them that even the very bones of their body would retain that power to some degree. Who knows what she was thinking? She may have thought, if I can just get near to him, the power that would be emanated off of him, then I would be healed. But there's another application I want to make here as well. Because touching the hem of his garment had another entirely different meaning. You see, according to the law, all the Jewish men had to have these tassels on the four corners of their garments. And what were the tassels for? Well, these tassels were to represent the word of God. And as the men wore them, what it said was basically is, I am clothed in the word of God. I am wrapped in the word of God. The word of God is everything to me. It is my life. And as the woman grabbed his garment, it may have been as well symbolic in her heart of saying, I'm reaching out to the word of God because I need a touch. And guys, I think there's wisdom in that as well. And that is, when we're needing a touch from God, it's getting into the word of God and saying, God, you've got to speak to me. Not just prayer, but getting into the word of God and waiting on that touch from the Lord. And so allowing God to bring you from that place of desperation and to bring you to that place where God can touch your life. You know, it's interesting. She knew that to touch him was against the law as well, because if she touched the Lord, she would be defiling him, Levitically. And some of you are saying, wait a minute, she did touch him. Does that mean the Lord broke the law? No, because what's neat about this is it tells us that the instant she touched him, she was healed, which means he was never touched by an unclean woman. And guys, the point is this. Some of you may feel unclean this morning. And you may feel like, I can't really touch the Lord. I can't really cry out to God. God will reject me. God's not going to receive me. You don't know my life, Pastor Mark. You don't know what I've been doing this past week. Listen, when you reach out and touch the Lord, you will be instantly cleansed and instantly healed. Maybe not of every physical malady, but spiritually, God says you will be healed instantaneously. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about grace and mercy. And she knows now that she has the grace and mercy of God in her life. And she touches out and says, I'm gonna touch the Lord and allow him to heal my life and to touch me in my life. You know, it's interesting. When she reaches out to touch him, it was more than just saying, if I can just touch it. She believed it. And this is where her faith was released. Notice when she does that, verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. I mean, she knew at that moment, I've been healed. And I've heard people share stories like that. When God has touched them, they knew it right then. They were healed. It was something that was done right off the bat. Again, we see the incredible reward for her faith here. And that is that the flow of her blood was immediately dried up and she realized and felt, she knew that she was healed is what the word there means. But notice who else knew. Look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, what a statement. What a statement. Again, look at the disciples, what they say. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? Remember, it told us this thronging was basically they were smothering the Lord. They were all around him, crushing in on him on all sides. And God says, now, who touched me? I love this because, again, guys, listen, here's the point. Just because we're in a crowd where people are all seeking Jesus doesn't mean that we're touching the heart of God. And this morning, we have a crowd right here in this room. And the question is, are you with your heart touching the heart of God? Or are you just part of the crowd? The one that causes Jesus to respond and take notice is the one that truly touches his heart. And that means reaching beyond the crowd sometimes in a place of desperation and saying, God, I need you this morning. Now, I know that we're not always desperate. So if you're sitting here saying, but Pastor Mark, I'm not desperate this morning. Right now, things are pretty good. And so I'm not really desperate. But here's what I am saying. It doesn't mean that we can't pray with a sense of desperation. It doesn't mean that we can't have a sense of anticipation saying, Lord, I need you. And I need you to touch me this morning. I need to hear from you. I need you to hear from me. I need to know that you've heard from me. We need to interact here for this thing to take place. And so although there's a crowd, the question is for us, are we reaching beyond the crowd and touching the heart of God? Is it really sinking in what God is trying to do in our heart this morning and what God is trying to do in our life? You know, it's amazing how you can be in a crowd and feel all alone. And yet it's also possible to be in church and never feel touched by the Lord. It's not that the Lord doesn't want to touch. The question is, how badly do we want to touch from our God? How desperate are we? And when we become desperate, God will answer our cry. And God will reach out and touch us. You know, it's something that God wants to do. It's something he desires to do. And it's something that she really wanted to happen. But I love this as well because it wasn't just her relationship. I'm reaching out and touching God. If I can touch. Notice it says, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. You see, Jesus knew as well. And what I love about the Lord is our relationship is not a one-way street. It's not simply, God, we're poor beggars, which we are. But it's not simply, God, we're poor beggars, we need you to touch our life. It's, God, I want a relationship with you. And see, this is the God we serve. It wasn't enough for God just to say, someone touched me. Who was it? He had his limitations as a man when he walked the earth, although fully God and fully man. God knows all of us when we touch him this morning and when he touches us. But I love it because he says he looked around. He looked around. He gives a picture of him looking around all over the place, just stopping. Here's this huge crowd. And he said, all right, which one was it? Which one in Calvary Chapel this morning? I heard that heart. I heard that. That was over here. And I heard one here. There's here. There's a heart over here. Somebody needs me badly right there. Somebody over there is really crying out. They're pouring their heart out. God hears that. Gang, understand that. God knows and he hears your heart. I love this verse. I use it all the time where the Bible says that God's eyes roam to and fro. Throughout the earth, seeking those whom he may show himself strong through. And it gives a picture of God looking around, even as he was looking around the crowd saying, who is it? I know that there are those that want to be touched this morning, but we have to desire to be touched. And he had this power flow out of him. You know, it's interesting to hear that power flowed out of him. You know, one of the workings of the Holy Spirit, there are different workings. Remember, the salvation work of the Holy Spirit is the indwelling. The coming alongside, being with us, is the other work of the Holy Spirit. But there's also a third working of the Holy Spirit, and that is the empowering for ministry. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit, when God comes upon us for ministry. And what's interesting about this particular work of the Spirit is we can use it up. It's almost like gasoline for a car. You drive your car, you have to get filled up again. And that's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the language there, it means to be filled on a regular basis, over and over and over. Now, what's my point? The Lord felt power go out of him. And what that means is, as we minister, we use up that filling of the Spirit and we need to be filled again. Some of you are dry this morning and you don't understand why. It's not because God has left you. It's simply because you need that work of the Spirit refreshed in your life. You need to say to God again, I need to be filled fresh, God. Fill me now to overflowing, and God will fill you once again with His Spirit. And so some of you this morning need to do that before we leave here, and that is to be filled again with God's Spirit. And you know, it's interesting. One last thing before we move on here to the next verse. And in Psalm, she wanted to touch the hem of His garment. I find it interesting because in Psalm 65, 6, speaking of God, who Jesus Christ was in the flesh, it says, who established the mountains by His strength, being clothed with power. And that's our God. He's clothed with power. And He's clothed with power this morning for those of you who need a touch by Him. And so they're thronging Him, and the disciples are like, Lord, how can you say this? And notice verse 32, He looked around to see who had done this thing. And again, I believe that God is looking around this morning, finding out who's desperate, who has the issues they're willing to bring to lay at His feet this morning and really want an answer and really want a touch. God's ready to deal with it, but we have to be ready to bring it to Him. And notice, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her. Why was she fearing and trembling? She realized she wasn't supposed to be anywhere near the Lord. She was unclean. And she'd come into the crowd and made the crowd unclean and now touched the Lord. But again, her desperation drove her to the Lord. And some of you in your desperation this morning, I hope, will be driven to the Lord, even if you feel unclean. You say, yes, but God's not going to accept me. You don't know what I've been doing. Look, she had the same fear. She was afraid God wouldn't accept her, that God wouldn't receive her. But notice what happens. Fearing and trembling, knowing what happened to her, she came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. So she just laid it out and said, Lord, here I am. You know everything. And no doubt He could see right through her with those penetrating eyes. And I love what He said to her. Notice He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I love it. Your faith, you believed and you were desperate. And when you believe and are desperate and run to the Lord, God will touch your life. Now, I can't guarantee that God's going to heal everyone in here of every physical malady they have. I can't guarantee that. The Lord says He heals whom He heals, and He doesn't who He doesn't. But here's what I do know. For us, we need to have a heart that believes Him and comes to Him in desperation and says, God, heal me if You're so willing. If You so choose to heal me, Lord, heal me. And if not, I love You anyway, and I'm going to serve You anyway. God's healing may be something totally different. And we may not have our complete healing the way we want it physically until we're in the kingdom of God, but God will most definitely heal us. But notice here, lastly, I want to point out the word daughter there because it's interesting when He said daughter. Notice He didn't say woman or lady. He said daughter. It's the same word used of a father to his little girl, which shows that she not only had gotten a touch physically, she had gotten a touch spiritually. That is, she had now received the Lord as her Savior. You see, she had an issue with her blood, and now the Lord made His blood the issue. You need My blood. And if you will simply confess your sin and fall down before Me and receive You as your Lord and Savior, I will touch your life, and I will give you new life, and I will save you, and I will deal with your issues. Let Me work in that. That's My job. I love it. And not only that, you're now a daughter. You're one of My children. You're not just a person in the world. You belong to Me. And there's that relationship that's back and forth. Guys, as we finish this morning, the question is, are we desperate? Are we desperate for a touch? And again, even if things are going good this morning, I want you to do this. Pray. As we pray, say, God, give me a desperate heart, a heart that wants a touch from You, a heart that wants, God, just that personal revival, maybe that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, whatever the case might be. I need to break through the crowd. I see the crowd here today, Jesus. They're all here. We're all here. I see that. But I don't want to just be sitting here in the crowd. I want to reach through and grab a hold of You this morning. And I know that if I reach out to You, God, You're going to reach to me. And the good news is whether we reach out to Him or not, He still reaches out to us. But we've got to respond. And we've got to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to do that. And I also want to encourage you, you know what? Whether you feel unclean or not, the moment you touch Jesus and the moment Jesus touches you, you will be clean. Jesus said, any that come to Me, I will in no way cast out. Come to the Lord and allow Him to do that this morning. Let's pray and ask Him to do it. Let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning for hearts of desperation. As we see Jairus, Lord, as we see this woman here with the the flow of blood, Lord, the issue of blood and the place it put her in, Lord. I know that she didn't like being in that place of desperation, that Jairus didn't like being in that place of desperation. And Lord, quite honestly, we don't like being in a place of desperation. But God, how I thank you that a place of desperation drives us to your feet and that drives us to a place where we collapse before our God and cry out and say, Lord, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And you are so faithful, Lord, to touch us. Lord, as your eyes roam and as you look for those that are truly desperate, desiring a touch from their God, make us all desperate this morning. God, touch your saints and touch your believers. And God, I pray lastly for those here this morning who don't know you, that right now for the first time, Lord, maybe this is their day. Maybe this is the day they will be governed by God. This is the day of your perfect timing. And right now, God, they know that. And they're bringing their issues to your throne, Lord. They're bringing their issues to your feet. And God, they realize that whatever their issue is, the true issue is your blood and the fact that you spilled it on the cross so that all who believe might be saved and might inherit the kingdom of God and be forgiven of sins and spared of eternal judgment. God, this morning, bring them to yourself right now. Lord, move in their hearts to begin to confess their sin and to receive you as their Lord and Savior, that they might know the God that we so love. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing our desperate cry for you to move this morning. God, do it. Move in a powerful way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.